In episode 35 of Personalities at Carey, we are in conversation with Gaurav Rawat. Gaurav hails from India and has a background in IT. He started off his MBA with a goal to achieve 4 concentrations. He worked really hard in his first year, secured an internship with Biogen in North Carolina. To know more about him and his experience, let's get chatting with Gaurav Rawat. So welcome everyone, this is episode 35 of Personalities at Carey, and we have with us today Gaurav Rawat, the greatest, the one who takes all the concentrations and then drops them one by one. So you want to say hi to our friends?
Hi everyone who's listening.
Yep. So Gaurav, can you tell us a little bit about how you came to the MBA? What were you doing before this? Where do you come from?
So before my MBA, so actually I did my undergrad in electrical engineering, and after that I worked in, so I didn't work in engineering, I worked in IT, so I worked as a SAP consultant, and I was here in the US. I did that for a few years, and then I realized IT wasn't something that really interested me, and that was the same way with a lot of other things. I think with a lot of things in my life, I've realized that, you know, I've not found what I like, but I found what I don't like. So IT was like one of those things, because after a while, it felt repetitive. And so I decided I want to go back to India. Once I went back to India, I didn't know initially what I wanted to do. So I worked for a solar company, and we did solar rooftop installations. And then my purpose of going back to India was because I wanted to start something. I've always wanted to start something, and in the past as well, in earlier too, I had tried to start something, and I mean, on both occasions, things didn't go as well for me. But they were learning experiences, so I started this as a online platform where you can book logistics vehicles. And I did that in Mumbai, that's where I'm from. I did that for about 2 years, and then at the end of 2 years, I realized that, you know, there's like a million other people doing the same thing. There was nothing really different about what I was doing, and I mean, it wasn't going to go. It didn't feel like it was going to go anywhere. And so I didn't know what I wanted to do. I had taken my GMAT like a couple of years earlier, and I decided that, you know, I didn't really want to do my MBA because I felt like it wasn't a good return on investment. I didn't think that, you know, the 100 or 200,000 you spend on your MBA was worth it to me. So for a long time, I didn't apply to any school, and I didn't do anything with my GMAT. And even my GMAT, I mean, I wasn't really sure I wanted to take my GMAT or do my MBA, but it was just something my dad kept telling me to do, and I kept putting it off. And so eventually he was like, you know, just register for the exam and take it. So I registered for the exam, and 10 days later I took my GMAT, and that's just how I took my GMAT. And and then when it came to applying for my MBA, so I'd been looking for, so I went to these career fairs for like 2 years, and ASU was at one of those career fairs, and I think I might have met Tony from Career Services at one of the events there. And I think ASU had like, that was the batch before us. So ASU had decided that they were going to give these like forward focus scholarships to everybody who's coming here. But they didn't want that to be the reason why everybody came. And so Tony didn't actually tell me about the forward focus scholarship. And so again, I went to the career fair, but I realized, you know, I didn't have the money. I didn't want to take a huge loan. So I didn't apply that year. And then the next year, I still didn't know about the forward focus scholarship. So I guess I wasn't doing enough research. But then I decided now I really had to do something, because this company was not going anywhere. So I really decided I have to do my MBA, and I started looking for MBAs. And I applied to ASU, and I didn't know about the scholarship. And then eventually, after I had applied, then I found out that, you know, there was this forward focus scholarship. And so then it didn't really make sense for me to go anywhere else. The reason that I did apply to ASU was because, I mean, I'd lived here in Tempe earlier. I'd worked here for a company called Freeport McMoRan, and I had some friends here. I had seen the city, and, you know, I still knew people here. And so that was one of the primary reasons that I wanted to come back here.
So the fact that you're from India, how do you manage your family over there, like, given that the time you spend over here is a lot busier than ever been?
So I'm actually not very good at managing, like, you know, personal relationships. I'm not very, you know, I don't keep in touch with people that often. So even with my family, you know, I email my parents once in a while, I message them once in a while. And then the odd time, if there's something going on, if it's like, you know, a festival in India, my parents' birthday, or if it's something important, then I'll give them a call. So I don't really keep in touch as much. My brother, as well, we don't really keep in touch as much. Like, once in a while, you know, I'll talk to him. And the rest of my family as well. I'm not very close to the rest of my distant relatives and those kind of people, but once in a while, I'll just message them here and there.
Okay. And then coming to school over the past 1 year, how has your experience been? Have the expectations been met?
So I guess, like, before I came into the MBA, my expectations were very different. I thought it'd be really challenging, and I kind of didn't know what to expect, and I thought, you know, it'd be a lot harder than it actually is. After I came into the MBA, I mean, it's been a great experience for me. I have no regrets. I've completely enjoyed meeting the people I met. I think that's the best part of the MBA program. Before I came into the MBA, one of the reasons I wanted to go to ASU was because of the small class size. You actually get to know all your classmates. I didn't want to be part of a 1,000 people class where I barely knew anyone. And so I think that was one of my expectations that was actually met. I know all of my classmates, and, you know, I share a lot in common with a lot of them. And so I believe, like, you know, like, once I graduate, post my MBA, that is something that I find would actually be helpful, because, you know, these are people who are going to be working in industry, or they're going to have careers similar to mine at the same time. And so I feel like, you know, there's a lot I can learn from them, or, like, those are the connections that I actually find that would be useful. In terms of the program itself, I think there are things that I liked about it and things I didn't like about it. The things that I liked about it is there's a lot of flexibility to choose what you want to learn. I feel like there could be more flexibility, but I think, you know, in terms of listening to the students, they're very, you know, very flexible, and they're very quick at making changes. And so that's something that I really appreciate about WP Carey. When they say that they're innovative, they actually try to, you know, bring about change constantly in the program and make it better. So I appreciate that. And the other thing I really like about the program is the faculty. Because it's small class size, they really know you. They you know, make an effort to find out who people are, what, you know, and engage them, and, you know, find activities that can, you know, help everyone. One thing that I want to say is there are people in the program who actually go out of their way, and to me, they really stand out. And so people like Christine, I don't think they're appreciated enough. She does a lot for the program, and I don't think she's appreciated enough. There's like 200 people, so 100 people in my class, 100 people in the next class, and she's probably one of the only people in the MBA program who knows everyone by name. I think there's a lot of people in career services as well, so, you know, they do a great job as well. They have a really hard job, like, getting all these international student jobs, but, you know, they do the best they can. So I think these are people who deserve a lot of appreciation. In terms of what my expectations that were not met, I think I feel like the program is not really challenging. So there's a lot of people who come from a lot of different backgrounds, and a lot of them don't have, you know, the quantitative background for some of the courses that are mandatory. And I feel in those areas, I think the program could be changed, you know. So because you don't have a quantitative background, that doesn't mean the whole class needs to learn at a lower level. I feel like, you know, there should be opportunities for people who want to challenge themselves to be in a different section. They can have, like, an advanced section where, you know, people who have a quantitative background can, you know, challenge themselves, work in you know, environment where the material that they're learning is not similar to whatever they've already learned in the past. And then people who don't have a quantitative background and they need like some of they need to learn some of the concepts and build like, you know, the foundation for some of the courses in the future, they can, you know, be put in a different section where, you know, they learn some of the concepts. So I feel in that sense, the program could like, you know, do a better job of challenging everybody and not just making it easier for the whole class just so everybody is included. And I like the fact that there's not as much focus on the grades. I think when there's not as much focus on grades, it allows you to actually learn things that you're interested in and not just learn for the sake of exams.
Okay. What about, apart from academics, anything else that's outside, like clubs or executive connections or things like that, that have kind of gone beyond your expectations?
Yeah, so I think a lot of the programs that WB Carey has, especially like executive connections, I've been really amazed by those. People who, you know, are giving their time to come and help students, I hadn't thought about that, I hadn't heard about that, so I feel that's something really unique, and to me it's been really helpful. In some sense, I feel like I don't know if it's good to like force things upon people. So I feel like some of these things, like executive connections, they're almost like, you know, forced upon people. And they have this, they say, right, you can take a horse to the pond or whatever, but you can't make it drink water. And to me, it's a similar thing. Like, you know, you can't force people to, you know, bring about, like, change themselves. And if they're ready to change themselves, they will. But I think, it's hard to do it as like, you know, an academic program. I mean, how do you decide, like, you know, how do you make people choose whether? So there are merits to it, and there are like, you know, downsides as well. But overall, I appreciate it. I think it's a great thing. The clubs, there are a lot of clubs, and I think there are a lot of opportunities to find something that interests you. So I think overall, not just the academics, the non-academic part of the program is really great and keeps you engaged.
Okay. And when you came into the school, did you come in with an idea of what concentration you're going to take, or did it just grow on you as we went by?
Yeah, so I think that was one of the reasons why I had like so many concentrations, because I didn't know what I wanted to do. I kind of knew that I didn't want to do certain things, and so, you know, that's why maybe I didn't take some of the classes. But when it came to supply chain, I didn't really know anything about supply chain. I didn't have a background in supply chain, finance. I didn't know as much about finance, and I think the courses that I took in finance actually mostly, you know, taught me something new and something that, you know, I wouldn't have learned otherwise. And so because there was so much flexibility, it allowed me to, you know, find things that I might be more interested in than others. So I think ultimately I ended up deciding to stay with supply chain, and I think I didn't know that before I came in.
And of the courses you've taken so far, do you have a favorite course?
So I've actually liked a lot of courses. I can't say that there was any particular course that was my favorite. Almost all the finance courses or the accounting courses is accounting course by Professor Hillegeist.
Mm-hmm. The managerial accounting?
Yeah, I thought that was a really good course. There's a marketing course. I didn't know anything about marketing. Some people didn't like that course as much, but to me, it gave me a good, you know, introduction to marketing. So, and Professor Morales, she was an excellent professor. And then I'm sure like a lot of people have already mentioned this, Professor Byers. I mean, they're the kind of professors who, you know, help you think, and like it's not just about like, you know, learning these concepts which you actually want to forget pretty much even before you graduate. So those are the kind of courses where I've actually learned something that I might actually use in the future.
Okay. And how did you go about getting your internship last year?
So I think this has been like another one of those things that was kind of frustrating about like the MBA at ASU. the career services and people at ASU, they've done, you know, I feel like they've done a lot from there and whatever they could. But I think in general, ASU doesn't have the kind of recognition as some of the premier like MBA programs. And so when it comes to like companies, not every company actually comes to ASU and recruits. Of the companies that come and recruit, they want, like, you know, because of maybe, you know, some of the changes in terms of politics recently, the companies that come, they want to recruit domestic students, and I think that's completely understandable. But that makes the process slightly more challenging for students, especially international students. So, yeah, the internship search process for me was pretty challenging. I think more than anything, I learned a lot of things that I could have done better. So, you know, networking, or like, you know, how do you like contact people on LinkedIn, and, you know, things like information interviews, or like how do you, basically, like, how do you maximize every opportunity that you get? Those are some things that were, you know, that I learned during my internship search process. Eventually, the internship I got, I was pretty happy with it, but the process itself was frustrating. Yeah.
Okay. So, which internship did you end up taking, and what was your particular role over the summer or your project?
So, the internship I accepted was with this with a company called Biogen. Biogen is a biotechnology company. They're headquartered in Boston, Massachusetts, and they have a manufacturing location in a Research Triangle Park in North Carolina. And so I was working in North Carolina. My role was of a network strategy and production planning intern. That's a lot of words, but basically I had to make a model for them to decide who their supplier should be for each of their products. So they have 7 or 8 drugs that they sell. Some of these are like $1 billion plus drugs, and so for each of the steps in their manufacturing process, they have certain things that they don't want to do in-house, and they have contract manufacturers for those, and they've usually just worked by, you know, intuition. So we feel like we need to have one supplier for this, so, and this seems like a good supplier, so we just go with them. And they didn't really have a process for deciding whether they should have one or two, for which products they should have made maybe more than two, and they have locations in Europe, and so they wanted to roll out the same process in Europe as well. So my job was to quantify those decisions and, you know, let them see based on some rules that, you know, how do they go about deciding how many suppliers should be there, and then once they have a number of suppliers, then how do they decide between the list of suppliers that they have, that who's a better supplier, and how much of their production. So even if we decide we want to have two suppliers, do we want to allocate it 50-50? Do we want to allocate 60-40 to those suppliers? How do you make the decision? So my model helped them, you know, make those decisions, and I use a lot of decision modeling that we learned.
So is that a company you'd recommend other people to look into for their internships?
So for me personally, the culture of the company fit pretty well with you know, what I was looking for. You get to work on a lot of important projects, and the project that I worked on was something that the company needed and they wanted to put in to use. So the internship was important. The company culture itself is pretty relaxed, and, you know, as long as you get your work done, there's not as much pressure to just like show up in office and like sit there from 9 to 5. I think they're very flexible, and people out there were very helpful. So my manager actually, she was PhD. She had done a PhD from Harvard and in biotechnology or science related field, and then she had been working at the company for a long time. She had done research. She worked for a startup, and then she'd been working at this company for a while. But she was really helpful, and she like went out of her way to, you know, introduce me to everyone in the company, see if there were people I could interact with, to get me informational interviews, so that, you know, I could find, even if I didn't want to work in this department, if I want to work with a different department. She was very flexible, and she was willing to introduce me to other people, and she wanted to give me as much exposure as possible. So she, introduced me to people. She asked me to present whatever my, at the end of my internship, my presentation and my model, she asked me to present to as many people as they were available. So I really like the company, and I think the work that the company does is really important. The people, the patients who rely on this company for their drugs to them, I mean, it's life or death for them. So I think the work that this company does is satisfying, and it's a good company. It's a great company to work for.
Okay. And I know you've been taking a lot of classes, but you might find yourself having some time outside of classes. So how do you spend your time, your leisure time? Do you have any hobbies?
I like traveling a lot. So I think I waste a lot of time outside class. I feel like, you know, it's a waste, because I spend a lot of my time planning, like, you know, to travel.
But you don't actually
and
travel.
Yeah, so I and then it actually ends up that, you know, I don't travel. So there's been a lot more trips that I've planned than I've actually been on.
So hopefully you can have like a blog or something where you can put all your plans and make money off it so that you can travel.
Yeah, maybe, you know. Other thing is, like, I you know, because you're on a constrained budget, I don't always have the money to travel to every place that I'd like to. So I spend a lot of time finding ways to, you know, going on these trips for a constrained budget. And so that's what, like, you know, I do in my free time.
So I also know that you find a lot of deals on websites where you can travel for cheap.
Yeah, so this is why, like, you know, I find a lot of deals, because I'm always like trying to go somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How about, do you have a favorite movie?
My favorite movie is The Scarface.
Ooh. So do you watch it over and over again?
I think I've watched it like 6 or 7 times. I haven't watched it recently, but yeah.
Has it affected your life? So,
I'm not a drug lord yet, but you know, who knows?
You have a favorite TV show? Maybe Narcos.
I like Narcos. I don't watch a lot of TV shows. My favorite TV show outside of Narcos, Modern Family and Big Bang Theory.
Okay.
I haven't watched like Big Bang Theory and Modern Family recently, but that's just because I haven't watched as much TV recently.
In terms of music, do you have a favorite artist or a genre of music?
I feel I have like terrible taste in music, so I don't really have like, you know, a genre or artist that I like, but I like a lot of like the pop music, anything that's playing on radio. I like some, you know, so I grew up in India, so I like a lot of like Bollywood music, and I went to Purdue, so, you know, there's some of these like old, I don't really know what genre they fit into, like, but, you know, these classic American songs, which they play in a lot of these piano bars.
What about a favorite, a person in history that you would like to have a coffee with or dinner with, so you can get to know them better?
I don't really have like a person, but if I was like, you know, forced to make a choice and I had to decide, probably with like Mahatma Gandhi or something, you know.
Anything in particular you find intriguing about that person? Do you want to know more?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot that people know about Mahatma Gandhi, and, you know, how he helped India and, you know, people in South Africa. And how he supported non-violence, and those are great things. There's also a lot of negative things that are told about Mahatma Gandhi, which I don't know whether they're true or not. And just to be the kind of person that he was, he didn't have to choose the path that he did. He could have had like every luxury in life, and he could have had a very comfortable life, but he chose this path where he had to go through a lot of, you know, sacrifice, and he didn't have like the most comfortable life. And so just to understand, you know, what was his motivation, like what made him like do those things.
Okay. Do you have any pet peeves?
I generally don't like, you know, get irritated a lot. So I don't really have a lot of pet peeves. I think one thing that I can think of in context of this program is I feel like a lot of people either just don't remember my name, or they can't pronounce my name, or they confuse my name with Gautam's name. And I think even some of our classmates actually, I know there's like, you know, people in the faculty and people outside of our class who don't, but I feel like even some of our classmates, and a lot of them, I mean, I'm okay with a lot of them calling me G, and that's like what everybody calls me, and yeah, that's fine. That's a nickname that I got from one of my roommates actually while I was here and staying here in Tempe, like, you know, long ago. But I want them to at least know, like, you know, that my name is not actually G and my name is Gaurav, and that, you know, me and Gautam are two different people. So yeah, that is something that, you know, irritates me at times.
You never had this problem before?
I feel like wherever I've been like the, so if I was working somewhere, I was the only, like, you know, Gaurav there. Or,
okay. So it happens only when there's another Gautam.
I don't understand. Like, I mean, Gautam and me look completely different. And I'm like clearly, you know, better looking and stuff. But I'm just kidding.
Sure. So coming back to what you want to do in life.
Yeah.
So just after your graduation, where do you see yourself in terms of a role, a company, or a location?
So actually, I don't know for sure. I think a lot of my choices where I end up going would be dependent on what's available, because as an international student, you don't have every opportunity available to you. But I like the US in general. I've lived in different parts of the US, and I've loved like every part of the US that I've been in. I probably won't be able to afford some of the more expensive places, like, you know, New York or California, even with whatever they'll pay me. And so if I had the option, I wouldn't want to go there. In terms of the industry, I'm not really set on a particular industry right now. I think one thing I know is like I don't want to be doing the same thing over and over again. So, you know, if I'm working in supply chain, I just don't want to have the same job for the rest of my life where I'm like just doing the same thing. That's how I felt in IT. Like, you know, once you know what you're doing, then you're just doing the same thing, and, you know, whatever you worked on is like something that you worked on in the past as well. So I want to be challenged constantly, and I want to learn and grow constantly. And then in terms of function, I think I want to be in operations. Maybe that's something that interests me. I'm still figuring it out. So for now, I think it's operations.
Yeah, like a top five companies you've narrowed down to?
I don't have a top five company list. I think it doesn't make sense to make a top five company list, because just in terms of the opportunities, you know, I might say that I want to work for Apple, but Apple doesn't want me. So what's the point?
But you can put it out there. Like, you want to work for Apple. Okay. Do you have any advice for the first years, since they're going through a time that you have already gone through?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think I made a lot of mistakes, so I don't know if I'm the right person to give any advice, but I would definitely say don't do what I did. Don't take four concentrations. It's not worth it. It's like, you know, unless you're really interested in, like, you know, some of those concentrations, don't, like, you know, overburden yourself. There's absolutely nothing to gain from, like, you know, taking four concentrations. Rather focus on something that you think you might be interested in and do well at it, and really learn, because I think when you're doing too many things, you don't really learn. You're not really good at anything, so be good at something.
Okay. And once you're done with your MBA, how would you like your peers to remember you?
I'm not really sure. I don't know. I'd like to be remembered as someone, you know, who's a good person, and, you know, who's helpful and fun to be with, fun to hang out with. Yeah.
And just in the end, like, you want to tell people, you want to take some time to plug something that you're doing in life, or you're organizing something for everyone.
I'm actually not doing anything or organizing anything, so I don't know yet. But I think at some point, I'm gonna organize like some trip, and I'd like it, you know, if all of our class can go together someplace, and it could be one of our things that we did. Okay.
So keep an eye out for that. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. How would people get in touch with you? Are you active on some social media?
Yeah, I'm active on. So, I mean, I think like all our classmates are active on WhatsApp, so you know that's the easiest way to get in touch with me. I'm also active on Facebook and Instagram and LinkedIn. So yeah, I can be reached like through whatever is possible.
Okay. So thanks, Gaurav, for doing this with us. It was fun to get to know you at a personal level. All right, goodbye, everyone.
Thanks.
I love his work hard, party harder attitude, and he's a great resource for whoever is looking for deals. I wish him all the best for his future endeavors. And to our listeners, thank you so much for listening. We are now available on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, and Anchor. Thank you for supporting us. Please promote us. Let your friends know about us. And I'll see you in the next one. Goodbye and peace.